training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Souls.
Hi, this is Kyler Murray, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah. Just setting y'all up for today. You're only good as your last session.
Oh, feels like the Arizona Cardinals are going all in.
Baby. Ready for this year? I think we will be a lot better.
Two of our offseason goals are becoming more physical as a football team and adding leadership to our locker room.
Here we go!
Baby.
We did some good things last year and made some big strides, and I anticipate us doing even more this season.
Baby.
Let's go!
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
The two of us are not in the Auction Community Studios this morning. Mitch and Maloney are, however, control room. Wolf and I are live, along with Cowboy. It's State Farm Stadium today.
Cowboy!
And the lights have just come on to illuminate what is going to be practice in an hour. In about 12 minutes or so, we'll be joined by AJ Green. So if you're a hardcore Cardinals fan, get to know the newest Cardinal very, very shortly. And practice is about ready to get going because Andy is here. So whenever he's here, we're ready to get started.
Indeed.
He's getting himself a drink of water. If you don't know, you can always have anything to do with your turf checked out by Andy. I'm sure he'll stop by the house.
Incredible, dude.
The Arizona Cardinals have DeAndre Hopkins now starting another year with the team, and he had a kind of an introductory for the year press conference yesterday. And when he was speaking to the media, spoke about a lot of different things and talked about Kyler's growth. And he was asked a follow-up, basically, exactly where would you say he has grown? And I tell you, when I heard this, it was like, that's exactly what we wanted to hear.
A lot of growth. I would say the biggest thing is just him communicating with us outside of football and just trying to get to know his teammates.
Wow. There it is. Ding, ding, ding. We've got a winner. That's exactly what he needs to do. And he needs to do a whole lot more as well.
Yes.
It's not just about outside of the facility and building those relationships. It's not just about that. It's also about inside of that facility and building the work relationships as well. So once again, when you are a franchise quarterback, you've got to be the end-all be-all. You've got to do everything. Whereas Graybeard always used to tell us, Kurt Warner, it's always the quarterback's fault. You've got to be the guy out front in front of all the criticism and the praise. You've got to learn how to take it, learn how to deal with it, and learn how to hopefully help your teammates take it and deal with it.
Granted, I have never played NFL football, but I would assume this is the first for a football player normal offseason in the history of Kyler Murray's life. When you are good enough to be drafted in the top 10 of the Major League Baseball draft, you have spent a lot of time not developing strong relationships with your teammates football-wise. Now, when I say that, I don't mean there's bad relationships. I just mean it's different. It's not the same when you're not there all the time. Then you become a rookie starting quarterback, and that offseason starts with the draft, and then it starts with getting acclimated, and then it starts with the offense, and so it's not the same because you're getting used to grown men. Then year two of your career is COVID. And you have zero that's normal for anybody's offseason. And I'm not saying we're all back together from the pandemic, but this is the first time in his life where baseball was not a part of an offseason, only football was part of an offseason, and he was able to get together with teammates from the end of one season at any moment he wanted to until the beginning of another.
Baseball is such an individual sport inside of a team sport. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
To say that? It's so individual. Right? I mean, it's you at the dish. It's you against the pitcher. It's you out there. It's you're playing right field. I'm not saying that you don't work with your teammates. Of course you do when you're playing the game of baseball. But not like a quarterback in the National Football League works with his teammates. And I'm talking about body, soul, and spirit working with your teammate on the football field when you're out there playing, taking the snap. You're working with the center on taking the snap. You're working with the center on protections and what protection you're actually going to go with. You're working with individuals all the time on the field to an unbelievable, staggering level of cooperation and partnership that you have to have with your teammates. That's the reason why being a franchise quarterback is so important, and it takes years for the most part, unless you're Pat Mahomes, it takes years to develop that in a guy, a young guy, and that's why I think about 3 years sounds right to me. To prove you're a franchise quarterback. Not only do you have the talent, but you also have the toughness, and you also have the leadership skills, and you don't mind being the face of the franchise. That usually takes 3 years, in my way of thinking, to develop that. That's why this is a huge step, a huge year for Kyler Murray going forward. He's got to take that next step in being the end-all, be-all for the franchise, answering all the questions, and doing it without malice.
If any of the allegations are true of what happened in Houston, that's disgusting. But DeAndre Hopkins had a great relationship with his quarterback there.
Yeah.
And nobody doubts how good of a leader Deshaun Watson was.
Right.
Okay, so if we're only talking about Deshaun Watson, the football player here.
What happened?
But Deshaun Watson, the football player, had that relationship. So I think it's really powerful when I hear DeAndre Hopkins talking about the thing that we've noticed from Kyler this offseason is better communication with us off the field to develop that relationship. Why? Because then when you have a moment where you need leadership to get on a guy, when you have a moment that you're now able to show, I put in my time with you, I put in my time with this team, I put in my time with this playbook, you will listen to me, you get what you're asking for. And I think guys now connect with that, because there's no doubt Hopkins and Watson had a fantastic quarterback-receiver relationship.
Yeah, not only that, I cannot wait to see week one, not in a preseason game so much, but week one, Kyler Murray and his interaction with his teammates on the sideline.
Let's talk to AJ Green about that too, coming up in just a second. But first, I want you to be able to do two things. A, be able to text us on the FanDuel text line at 620-620, include your name. If there's anything you want to say to AJ Green, we'll try to get to it. I don't want to make any promises. And we also had a D-backs game last night.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at AmericaRoofingCo.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's AmericaRoofingCo.com.
Taylor Widener wasn't great, wasn't terrible, gave up two runs, but then left the game with the bases loaded, and Bukauskas walks a runner to allow one run to score, and then it got ugly with Dickerson.
And a drive to right, and he's got himself a grand slam. The lead goes to 7-1.
So it's 7-1 right there, Greg Schulte, but then the Diamondbacks don't quit for once with Reddick and Cabrera.
Pitch to Reddick is in the air to right. Hit it pretty well. This ball's going to go. Pinch hit home run, Reddick.
That was really nice as dribble.
Cabrera.
And Cabrera swings. High fly ball, deep right field. And that one is out of here. It's a two-run game.
How about that? It was 7-1, then it's 7-5 Diamondbacks. And then Christian Walker steps up to the plate in the bottom of the seventh.
And a line drive that's going to tie it. Down into the left field corner. In is Marte, right behind Cabrera. And Christian Walker has tied this game at 8 on a two-out double.
That was pretty exciting right there. We're tied up 8-8.
That was beautiful, as a matter of fact, Douglas. Honestly, Bukauskas is the one guy I thought was going to have a much better season than what he's had so far.
That was impressive. Unfortunately, in the 10th inning, it didn't go the way the Diamondbacks wanted. Posey, the leadoff hitter, when he's batting about $8 million against a lefty, and it was Aguiar, the lefty.
And a drive to left. They'll get the Giants a run in. Into the corner, extra bases. Crawford scores to make it 9-8 on a double by Posey.
Giants scored two more. After that, they win it 11-8. It'll be Mad Bum against Johnny Cueto tonight, 6:40. Tickets only $10, or you can listen right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to D-backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at AmericaRoofingCo.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's AmericaRoofingCo.com.
What kind of expectations does AJ Green have for the Cardinals offense this season? The man joins us next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold.
Hi, this is AJ Green, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I expect AJ to have a big year. Glad he's on the team.
If AJ gets enough footballs this year, he may just be comeback player of the year.
He's been really impressive when you see him on the field with that type of size, with that type of movement skills.
AJ Green breaks the tackle, streaking toward the end zone. Yeah. Touchdown!
Yeah, man, I feel like I have a lot left in the tank.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
Live from State Farm Stadium, it's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And we just told you a little bit ago, lights are on. We're ready for practice. It starts up at 8 o'clock. And to our knowledge, they're hitting today.
Yes, the pads are on. The mouth guard will indeed be in. And that means one thing. People will be trying to drive other people into the ground and do it with malice, which is never a bad thing. The first day of pads, to me, is always the best day. It's the best day in training camp, and the reason being is because everybody is fresh, number one. Everybody's got something to prove, or at least hopefully they're going to try to prove something out there. And more times than not, it's as chippy as it's going to be. When you start practicing 3, 4, 5, 6 days into it, suddenly you're going to start seeing that curve go down a little bit in terms of the intensity level. It shouldn't go down, but it does an awful lot of the time just because you've got fatigue that starts to settle in. Now, once again, the training camp of today is not the training camp of my era.
Mm-hmm. Trying to catch up with potentially AJ Green or a different Cardinals player, and I'm only saying that because we don't have him as of yet after me telling you all morning we were hoping to talk to him. So I want to give you something on A.J. Green, and this is Cliff Kingsbury from yesterday, in which Cliff looked at two guys that he is saying. He didn't say they're the stars of camp or anything like that, but two guys receiving-wise that he's really been excited about.
They're exciting to watch. I mean, we all know that A.J.'s been a 7-time Pro Bowler, I believe, and has a lot of savvy in his route. Game knows how to get off the line. Very quick twitch for being that big, as y'all have seen. And then Rondell is just a competitor. I mean, he believes he's the biggest, baddest dude out there every time he walks in the field and attacks the ball in the air. And so he's got a long way to go, but you like the way he approaches the game.
The anti-Green is what I'm calling him right now, honestly. To see Moore out there, Rondell Moore, it is hysterical because he's what, 5'9"?
Mm-hmm.
It may be 5'9". Let's put it that way, Basinonians. And then you've got A.J. Green, who's 6'4". It's incredible to see those guys lined up on the line of scrimmage side by side. I've seen them actually line up in a stack formation where you had Rondell Moore behind A.J. Green, who's on the line, and you've got this move guy who's 5'8", and he's running at incredible speeds back and forth. The motion, you're seeing a lot more motion out of the Arizona Cardinals this year. Remember, they used the most static formations last year of any other team in the National Football League, the least amount of motions by any team in the NFL, and that, I think, is going to change an awful lot this year, and one of the reasons is because of Rondell Moore and moving him around a whole lot more. But it is funny to see somebody so fast like Rondell Moore and the impact that he has on some of the DBs that are out here trying to cover him. And A.J. Green, more than anything else, I cannot stop talking about A.J. Green. You know, the first day I came out here, the very first practice that I saw, A.J. Green popped off the field. Just anybody who knows anything about football whatsoever, if you're watching it, you would have noticed A.J. Green and some of the plays that he was making, some of the speed that he was showing, getting over the top of some of these young DBs that are out there. Guys I know can run. They might not be very good DBs right now, but there were fast DBs, and to see A.J. Green running by him, he made another play yesterday, as a matter of fact, running the post over the top, down the middle of the field, and Kyler Murray with an absolutely perfect throw against what appeared to be man free to me, a free safety in the middle of the field, man cover on A.J. Green. He ran the post over the top, caught the ball for a touchdown. Another big play, another chunk play in training camp made by A.J. Green.
Really interesting. DeAndre Hopkins met with the media yesterday, and he more than three times made sure that nobody took his comments out of context, but wanted to say that A.J. Green was the best receiver he's ever played with at the current point of A.J.'s career versus the time later in Andre Johnson's career in Houston, and obviously last year, what could be the last season of Larry Fitzgerald, for all we know. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, he wasn't comparing careers, just the player at that time. And then when somebody asked a follow-up that I thought was really interesting, which was, we've been talking to A.J. Green a lot about, for the first time in his career, not being expected to be the number one, and how much you, DeAndre Hopkins, will be able to help A.J. Green. So let's ask you the same question. How much will it help you on the season to have a receiver the caliber of A.J. Green on the other side?
I think he'll help me out a lot. Obviously, having someone who can go get any kind of ball, run any kind of route. He's tall, but he still can play underneath and go, go in there with the linebacker. So, for me, I think it'll help me out a lot. You can't just focus on me having someone like that. They can win a one-on-one 9 times out of 10, and he showed what he can do so far in camp. Honestly, I don't think he's missed a beat. I think he's gotten better from when I seen him a couple years ago. Probably, just coming off of an injury, a couple years ago. To me, I think he's at the peak of his career. It makes me better seeing him go out there and make catches and make plays. Make me want to go out there. So it's like competing, and I love it. But I definitely think it'll help draw the safety away from me sometimes. But we play good corners. This is the NFL. Obviously, we're going to get those one-on-one matchups, and I got to win.
As soon as he was talking, it made me think of all people. Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel, the Lakers head coach, at one point in a playoff series decided the biggest threat on the Phoenix Suns is DeAndre Ayton, and I need to change everything we're doing to stop Ayton. And, man, the Lakers just got blitzkrieged once he made that terrible decision. Having said that, I liked it when D-Hop just said, sometimes I'm not going to have to worry about the safety. Mm-hmm. Imagine what an enormous win that will be if in the middle of a game, all of a sudden the other team has decided the biggest threat on the field is A.J. Green. Now, you can argue, hey, every now and then they've got to mix everything up. I don't know. Do you really want to be the defensive coordinator the one time you say, quote-unquote, I was just mixing it up, when DeAndre Hopkins is in single coverage and blows somebody away?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Here's what I'm hoping for right here, Basinonians. The fact that the Arizona Cardinals have an A.J. Green, a DeAndre Hopkins, have a Christian Kirk, and then you throw in Rondale Moore right there, and I'm telling you, this is good. And the reason why I say that is, in rundown situations out of 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, you can get two safeties high. And I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to see a lot of two safeties high, whether it's man that they're playing underneath it or a true cover two safeties high in rundown situation against 11 personnel. The running game for the Arizona Cardinals has got to be good. It has got to be good. It has got to produce. It can't be run through Kyler Murray. Is Kyler Murray a guy that you want to be able to feature from time to time? Yes, absolutely. But if you're telling me you've got to build your rush offense around Kyler Murray running the ball, I'm telling you, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. You got to be able to line up in 11 personnel with an inline tight end, that being Max Williams, who can come off the ball, and you got to be able to run tackle zone. You got to be able to run inside zone, whether you want to do it out of pistol, you want to do it out of shotgun, you want to do it under center, whatever it may be. You got to be able to do that. It's going to help. You're going to see a lot of two safeties high against the Arizona Cardinals in rundown situation against 11 personnel, their number one personnel group. You're going to see it because they're afraid of DeAndre Hopkins and singling him up if they move the safety over to A.J. Green and his side. They're going to be Christian Kirk, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins. They have got to hurt teams so that you're going to see those two safeties high, because early in the season, that's what you're going to see. Defensive coordinators aren't going to say, boy, I wonder if A.J. Green can still play right here, right? We're going to put two safeties high and see. We're going to start that way. If the Arizona Cardinals can run the ball against those two safeties high, baby, you're gonna have a tough proposition if you're a defensive coordinator.
That started at 24. I had no idea you had all that
in
you.
Sorry.
If I would have known, we would have gotten to that sooner. That was fantastic.
Right now, that is, honestly, I am jacked up about that.
I don't think I've ever heard you say, I'm telling you, you're doing it wrong,
you're
except to me in a
wrong.
Meeting.
Well, that was great. And you were.
Sorry we weren't able to produce for you, A.J. Green. The good news is we're here all week. So hopefully we'll try to be able to catch up with him on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Coming up next, Chris Paul will be back. But is there one thing we learned yesterday that we should be worried about? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Training camp coverage brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and 72 Sold.
Hi, this is DJ Humphries, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Let's go put this thing in zone. Come on.
You know, we're just trying to find the best scheme that attacks the defenses, and coach is very creative.
I think we're building a culture of high energy, high intensity, and guys that all they want to do is just win and be the best.
I think you have to be aggressive these days.
Huddle.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
So I'm going to need Wolf to verify this because there's no way the man on the headset here at State Farm Stadium is going to believe me. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf, and we're talking to quarterback Colt McCoy of the Arizona Cardinals. And it was just yesterday that Ron Wolfley asked me a question in which you did not care about my answer because you never do.
Right.
And it was, who stands out to me at camp?
Right.
And I said, I got to tell you, I'm really happy Colt McCoy is here. And I started talking about Colt McCoy, and Colt, good morning. Welcome to the show. When is the last time a talk show host was excited that you were in training camp? Because you deserve it.
Oh, man. Good morning, guys. Yeah. I tell you what, this is my 12th year in the NFL, and I haven't ever practiced at 8 a.m. in the mornings. But I kind of like it.
Why Arizona, big guy? Why did you want to come and play for the Cardinals?
I think you look at Cliff's track record of quarterbacks. He's coached so many good ones. Guys have always played well under him. And when they called me this offseason, had the opportunity to come here, I felt really good about it, prayed about it. And, man, I really feel like I made the right decision.
Well, we do too. It was especially at the end of the year for the Cardinals to lose to two backup quarterbacks and for us to struggle with some Kyler injuries. What is your role now when the expectation is Kyler's the guy? Because you've been the guy and you've been the important backup. What's the key to being a good backup quarterback?
Well, I think number one, you just always have to be ready. And I think for me, what I want to bring to the room is just a consistent approach. I know Cliff expects a lot out of all the quarterbacks in the room, me and Kyler and Strev. And, I want to consistently come out here and learn the little details of our system. And, it's always hard, even as the years go on, as I get older, coming into a new system that you haven't played in before. You know, understanding the philosophy is one thing, but then understanding the small, little, intricate details that go into each and every play and protections and snap counts and seeing coverage. And so that's what I'm spending my time doing. And if I can help Kyler in any way or Strev or bring some input into the offense with Cliff, the room has been fantastic, one of the best that I've been in. So far to start camp, it's gone well. And just have to keep working. Keep understanding what we're trying to do, how we're trying to operate, all those little things. And then, for a backup quarterback, you always got to be ready. Be an extra set of eyes for Kyler, on coverage. Hey, why did you go here? Why did you signal this? Here's what I saw. And just being on the same page. And then, when I go in, trying to sound like Kyler, his snap counts, how he's operating. So I'm by the time practice is over, I'm mentally just kind of like, all right, I need a break. But in an hour, I'll get back in there and go at it again. But it's been good so far.
So it's so important. It really is. As a guy that played 10 years in the National Football League, Colt, I can tell you right now that is so important to have a very good relationship between the backup quarterback, of course, the rest of the team, not only that, with the starting quarterback as well. How is that relationship going with you and Kyler?
It's, outside of the Texas OU rivalry, it's been pretty good. No, it has been, from my standpoint, it's been great. Kyler's obviously extremely talented. The things that he's put on tape over the last couple years are Not many guys can do that, if anybody, what he's done. So it's been great. A good working relationship, lots of great conversations in the meeting rooms. Again, you know, this is my first time in the system. He's played in it since college. So a lot of the questions that I'm asking him. So it's it's spurred on some good conversations, some good some good talks in the meeting rooms. And, you know, from my standpoint, it's gone very well so far.
Now, for those of you that don't know, Colt, it was nice enough to join a spur of the moment, but that's also a spur of the moment for me, Colt. So this is off the top of my head. I haven't gotten to read the entire history of Colt McCoy's life on Earth. But if I remember correctly, you got drafted before Cliff became the head coach at Texas Tech. Therefore, he's an assistant either at Houston or A&M. Do you have any recruiting stories? Did you get to know Cliff at all while you were deciding where you were going to school before you went to Texas?
No, Cliff was still playing at the Patriots whenever I went to college.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Then, but you probably played against him. I mean, like, technically, am I right about that? That you're at Texas and maybe he's at A&M or something like that?
I think he was at my last 2 years in college, he was at Houston.
Okay, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So we never crossed paths there. But again, I'm from Texas. Cliff is from Texas. Cliff has such a great reputation. He was kind of the first quarterback that I remember watching that just threw for like 800 yards a game and, you know, broke all the records for touchdown passes, like the original air raid with Mike Leach.
Okay.
And so Cliff, I've been watching him since I was I think he was early 2000s at Texas Tech.
Well, think with all, you know, with the Texas thing, how worried are you about how bad they're going to get smashed in the SEC? Is this a big concern?
Well, we haven't been lighting it up necessarily over the last few years.
Yeah.
Oklahoma has.
Yeah. Good job sucking up to the quarterback right there on that one. That
we'll
good.
See. Like, I think I was just as surprised as anybody else, but I think the landscape of college football is going to change dramatically over the next few years anyways.
Yeah.
It's kind of the first domino to fall. But we'll see. I mean, who knows?
So, Colt, how is this offense fitting with your skill set?
I think it's meshing well. You know, I came off a broken leg 2 years ago. I missed 2019 pretty much. You know, I didn't really know if I was ever going to be myself again, but decided to go play in New York last year and ended up starting a few games and playing, you know, what I felt like pretty good. And so now I'm playing with a lot of confidence. I sort of picked my mojo back up, and I'm in a place where it's very quarterback friendly. There's a lot of targets to throw to. I really, really like the way Cliff sees the game. He sees it from a quarterback's perspective, which all the coaches that I've played for, you know, the guys who have actually played quarterback and had the ball in their hands and had to make tough decisions and make them quickly, those are the guys that I really feel like I want to play for. I see the game the same way, and Cliff sees it just as good as anybody. And so far, you know, 6 days into camp, I smile every day I walk off the field because I see the potential of this offense and what we could be and how aggressive we are and Cliff's mentality. It's awesome. Kyler's doing a great job. I'm learning a lot from him just by watching him, talking to him in meetings. And so we're all on the same page, and I'm just going to continue to work and prepare and bring some input when I feel like, you know, I can implement something. But other than that, I'm just keeping my head to the ground, working and really digesting what's going on and learning the little small details of how to play this position, you know, on this offense and in this system.
I know you're busy. Thanks for joining us, spur of the moment, and I hope you don't mind if we ask the Cardinals to have you back between now and Christmas.
Thanks,
no, that'd be great.
We really enjoy
you guys have played too, so you
well,
you know the game.
Eighth grade doesn't count for me, so but Wolf has. Thank you, Colt.
Yeah.
See you.
All right, guys.
There's Colt McCoy joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Cadillac, you want ColterCadillacTempe.com. Experience the difference. And speaking of the Arizona Cardinals, they are part of Character Counts. It's brought to you by Parker & Sons, heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical. Let me tell you about the Laird School in the Tempe School District. They have 520 students. Why is that number important?
Yeah.
Because State Farm and the Arizona Cardinals got together for their back-to-school supply collection drive on Thursday, and the drive was able to accumulate 8,505 worth of supplies to pack into 567 backpacks. So more backpacks than the entire school had students. And on Meet the Teacher Night, the backpacks were handed out by State Farm employees and Cardinals employees in order to be able to get the kids' school year started off right.
I absolutely love that, the fact that it's not just about the donations, of course, and the money. That's very, very important, because otherwise you wouldn't have the backpacks. But I love the fact people like to volunteer and show up and see the look on the kids' faces when they get those backpacks. Very cool.
It was some of the pictures that I've seen of it were very cool as well. Now, we made a change, if you don't know about this. For years, Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical have given a $10,000 scholarship to a deserving student-athlete in our area. Well, after COVID, we decided we didn't know who was playing and who was not. So we've moved the athlete part of it out. Now it's any student in Arizona. Hey, if you look at this and say, this is a young man, this is a young woman that exemplifies great character, we want to know about them. But the only way we can know is if you tell us. So text a student to 620-620. That's student to 620-620 and give us the information on why you believe a student in our area is deserving of a $10,000 scholarship from Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. Coming up next, Chris Paul is coming back. Now, there's something else we learned that I think is vitally important for Chris Paul's future and what just happened in the past. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug drives the bus and Wolf sticks his head out the window. Doug and Wolf, mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Got a text from a friend of the show, Monica Lindstrom, the legal analyst and expert for the Doug and Wolf Show.
Money.
And she said, Colt McCoy is part of the reason we named my son Colt. Like, I didn't expect that. That was kind of out of nowhere.
Well, how about that, Colt?
That's cool. Colt McCoy just joined us. If you ever hear us talk about a conversation we had with anybody, all you have to do is go to arizonasports.com, and you'll be able to listen to that interview yourself. If you want that conversation really conveniently, you can just subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast, and it'll pop up right on your phone whenever it's easy for you to listen. Boy, he was the first one in America to stand on the table and say, look out for the Suns in the 2021 Western Conference Finals. KP, ESPN, what do you think about the Suns and Chris Paul now?
It's telling me, yes, Chris Paul deserved his payday and he wanted his money, but it also is telling me this late in his career that he believed in this Phoenix Suns organization, which is a tremendous deal. He believed in Devin Booker. He believed in DeAndre Ayton. He believed in his organization to make multiple runs. Carry on.
That is really a great point there, is it not, when you hear Kendrick Perkins talking about that. You know what? I love the fact that the signing of Chris Paul, it means that the Suns are going to be in the conversation once again to win a championship. This year, going into this season, think about it, they were two wins away from being world champions. I know it feels like it was a lot more than that, but two wins away from being world champions, they're going to be right in the middle of this conversation going forward. And I love the fact that the Suns basically were trusting the character of Chris Paul. I think this contract says so much about who Chris Paul is as a person, not only as a player, Doug Lease, but as a person. You don't sign a guy to this kind of contract unless you know the competitive character of the dude signing it.
I really believe along those lines, this is an enormous day in Suns history because of how it affects the perception of a lot of different people. Chris Paul being that committed to his body to change the perception of him breaking down constantly at the end of different seasons, and now he earns a four-year deal. What it does, let's face it, for the NBA Players Association, that a player of his age can get 4 years and $120 million.
Yep.
We as fans don't care about that, but union leaders care deeply about that and what it says to everybody else. The perception across the league of Robert Sarver. Robert Sarver just spent $120 million on one guy, has the right to spend more money on Ayton and Bridges, and then I think a lot of you know, but in case you don't, spent almost $20 million on campaign. Not a lot of people are shelling out $20 million contracts for a backup point guard.
Yes.
And that's what he did in order to keep this team together. So there's different perceptions. And there's another one, too. It also really should be highlighted, the human beings that are Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, and DeAndre Ayton. Chris Paul is not re-signing here if any of those three young men had the type of ego that said, I want to be the alpha dog. Bring somebody in here all you want, but they better understand I'm the number one pick in the draft. They better understand I'm the guy that's been getting not involved in the All-Star game until somebody gets injured. Or I'm the guy that got traded on draft night and I'm tired of it and my star should be rising. If you didn't have three young guys that are hungry and willing to listen, there's no way Chris Paul comes back to this either.
Yes, it's just amazing to me. Once again, I was talking about this yesterday, but it's worth bringing up once again in regard to Chris Paul based on needs. You have to know who the desire is coming from when you sign a 36-year-old guy to a four-year contract. You have to know who that fire is coming from. Who the person is. Not the player, who the person is when he's 36 years old and you're signing him to a four-year contract of up to $120 million. You better know who that person is. And I think the Suns know who Chris Paul is. And the fact that he will not wane. As long as he's pursuing this contract, as long as he's pursuing the payment of the contract, he's going to be a pro through and through. And that also means you have to know how a 36-year-old is going to take care of his body when you sign him to a four-year contract. And again, I think they know how Chris Paul takes care of his body. And that this would not be happening if those two boxes did not get checked.
Kendrick Perkins, what does the signing of Chris Paul say to you?
Signing this deal was a huge thing for the Phoenix Suns because now they got their captain back, they have their floor general back, they have their leader back. So I think it's a both win. It's a both parties won in this situation for us, Chris Paul getting signed back.
I'll also add to that what it says, and this is always important in today's day and age, and we, gosh, I hope you're not bored with this topic, but it means a lot to me, so please listen. And that is what this says to Devin Booker. For the 9 millionth time, on the one hand, it's unfair for us to continually bring up, is Devin Booker happy? He's never once complained publicly, and he's always said he's committed to be a Sun. So it's not fair to Devin Booker, but it's always fair to talk about every NBA player on a max contract because there's enough of an example, or there's other examples of players on max contracts that demand their way out and get what they want. Whether they do it with the Anthony Davis or Dwight Howard passive-aggressive, or whether they go the James Harden that it's just not working here and I've got to get out and it's my teammates, okay? No matter what the scorched earth policy is or not, you now are showing Devin Booker that we are here for good and you can win a championship here because getting to the finals shows that James Jones can put a team together to possibly win a championship. It doesn't show you can win one here. That's up to Robert Sarver and the ownership to keep the team together. And he did that. That's what shows Devin Booker that you can win a championship in Phoenix. And they did just that in a time frame of about 5 hours from after the window opened up to be able to negotiate with free agents.
And I love the fact they went out and they brought in JaVale McGee as well. This is a guy that I think is going to be really, really big. beneficial to DeAndre Ayton, a guy that is going to play behind him, obviously, now with Dario Saric and the ACL, the problems there. This is a guy that is much more suited, I think, to actually back up DeAndre Ayton, flat out back him up, be a defensive presence, a guy that you could see going out there and getting some critical minutes in games where DA might be in foul trouble, of course, or maybe you just want him to go out with DeAndre Ayton. Maybe DA starts playing the four a little bit. You got JaVale McGee, somebody where you want to go big and you start banging away. I love the signing of JaVale McGee because, as we all know, that was one of the concerns going into the Bucks series, in particular with Dario Saric and his problems. One of the concerns going in there, and every time DeAndre Ayton, you said this yesterday, I totally agree with you, every time DeAndre Ayton was taken off the floor in that NBA Finals, you were like, oh my goodness, hold on to your butt.
Players are on the field here at State Farm Stadium, going through some stretches, going through some passing a little bit, practice getting ready to start, and so is the Rush Hour reboot. It's next with Aaron Maloney, driving on all the things that you've got to know right now about the Suns free agency, about Cards Camp. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.